Yo, you already know what it is. It's your boy Kev, always been a Don. And of course, this is the Modern Crowd podcast. Who? We got to start that over.
No, that's the first time I ever fucked it up. It shows you're human. It just shows you're human, bro. You don't have to start that over.
Come on now.
It just shows you're human.
I done been through hell and back. Yeah. I ain't never going back, no way. Been a long time coming, yeah, no. I finally got my breakthrough. Working hard, I think of them before they think of me.
Introducing the Modern Crowd Podcast, the podcast with the hoop dreams. I mean the hoop dreams.
Three, two, one. Yo, you already know what it is. It's your boy Kev, always been a Don. And of course, this is the Modern Crowd podcast with Hoop Dreams. And I got my boy Rudolph sitting here. What's up, man?
What's good, man? I'm still a little upset.
That was such
a good, genuine human moment, and now it's gone into the ether. Just gone.
Well, we did have a blooper which won't be shown, but make a reference to it.
Kelvin would not admit he's human.
I'm a legend for sure. But of course, we have a guest here today. I'm gonna let her go ahead and introduce herself.
Danielle Hutchins, what's going on?
What's up? You finally came to Atlanta to hop on a Modern Crowd podcast.
Came through, finally.
Word. So how was the trip when you got here?
I mean, it's a regular 2-hour drive or less, you know.
Man. Where are you coming from?
Augusta, Georgia.
Okay. That's home.
AUG 706, baby.
Oh. I didn't know the area you come from. That's Georgia.
I didn't know
that was like a whole thing, bro. Yeah. Like, y'all rap hard.
Yeah, like, he's like, whoa, what gang is that?
Right. Excuse me.
But yeah.
I apologize.
So, of course, you're coming from my hometown, I'm actually glad to actually see talent come out of my hometown, first and foremost. I really appreciate you for coming out here. So, first thing we tell everybody before they get on here, tell the people what you do.
I do a lot of things, but I sing, write, and rap.
Word. So, being in Atlanta, everybody does music and stuff out here.
Okay.
How hard is it for you to do your craft? Like, if you had to put it on the scale of 1 to 10, how hard is it?
I guess it depends on, do you mean, in Atlanta, it's crowded.
Facts.
Very crowded and saturated. With a lot of rappers and singers. Not trying to take any digs at people, but, sometimes people don't, work on their craft.
That's a fact.
So it is saturated within Atlanta, but, Georgia will always be home. Love the people, love the culture.
Word.
Yeah, so.
Word. No, that's a fact. I mean, from me coming from Augusta and going here to Atlanta, I can definitely agree to what you're saying. And I think everybody in the world knows it too.
For sure.
But it's crazy because I listen to your music and I'm like very in awe of how talented you really are.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, it's again, with being in an oversaturated market, actually to see talent actually for the first time and being on this podcast. We had other people that had talent too, but like every time somebody comes on here, I gotta let them know that they have talent. And again, this is me giving you your flowers right now.
Woo!
Well, I appreciate you for giving us a talent because I'm tired of hearing the bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Clap soundtrack. Clap.
We put the clap on there.
Got to.
So let me ask you a really, really challenging question here.
For sure.
And this is no shot to nobody.
Oh, no.
I always ask this.
What
because you work with
ask,
other
bro?
People, right?
Uh-huh.
So has there ever been a time where you worked with somebody and it didn't work out? And how did you get to that moment and tell them that it didn't work out? Or did you come to a situation where you were like, hey, we can do something else?
Honestly, I've never been in that situation.
Word, that's a good thing. That's a great thing for real.
You are blessed.
I've never been in that situation because, on my song Big Dreams, that's actually about to drop on April 30th.
Word.
I had a rapper on there because I needed like a male voice. That's kind of how I heard how I wrote it. And so he couldn't do the sing rapping type of thing.
You're right.
So I'm like, yeah, so now you see how it feels being in the studio when all the rappers want to be doing this sing, rapping type of thing, and y'all can't really do it.
That's a fact.
Unless you're, you know, have the reverb on it. So I, you know, coached him through, like, nah, you didn't hit that note. My guy, you was off, you were flat, blah, blah, blah.
Word.
And I was just like, you know what? Just go ahead and move out the way. Let me just go ahead and do these next four bars, and I'ma just sing rap it real quick. Yeah.
So you coached them through it. That's real. Like, because but some people need that.
I mean, I know, like, a lot of people are not in the church scene. So I guess, like, coming from a church scene and, you know, environment is great because I grew up in the church.
Word.
So I'm able to hear different things. So I've had that foundation. So even like when I was in Minnesota for school and I was at my church and we were, you know, writing and singing our own album stuff, I was able to basically step in the role of being a music director and basically, you know, teaching rehearsal, teaching songs, teaching notes, teaching parts, things of that nature. But a lot of people don't have that experience. I mean, it's good, you know, good and bad, but you know.
No, I feel that. I'm glad you said that because one of the things that I mentioned on all the podcasts that I've been on, you know, when I listen to artists and stuff like that, I wanted to be a rapper. And, you know, I know.
Why you have to laugh, bro?
It's all good.
This man is pouring his heart out.
It's all good. I rapped in front of my homie one time, and he told me I was absolute garbage, and my rap career ended right then and there. You know what I'm saying? So, but outside of that, I went to podcasting, and it's been working out pretty well. You know what I'm saying? I've been talking to people and they've been coaching me and stuff like that. So it's been working out pretty well.
God redirects us, you know?
Yeah, facts.
Do you sometimes put on that deep podcast voice, you know?
Nah, I don't know what that is. Like, I swear, like, I tried it, like, but I can't do it. Like, I try to be like, you know, try to do like, you know how they do the commercials and they have the person, the deep voice and stuff like that for the voiceovers?
Yeah.
Tried that. That didn't work out for me.
It's not sustain. It's not supposed to be sustainable.
Oh,
because like those voiceover commercials is takes after takes after takes after takes.
Yo, random fact. I thought like SpongeBob, the person that did SpongeBob's voice, I thought that was his real voice.
I swear to you. No. Like most of those voices is for the character.
I can't do it.
Fun fact, my mom can actually talk like Daffy Duck.
What?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Where is she?
She's not with me.
Yeah, that's super impressive. Anybody that can do a voiceover of any cartoon, because I'm a huge cartoonist. Yeah. I like cartoons and stuff. So to know somebody can do it, that's impressive. So you just mentioned, you know, with you, of course, being in a part of the church and then also doing music and coaching other people. So with me, I'm trying to understand basically of that nature of your culture with the music.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to basically convince people to listen to your music?
I feel like they have to have an experience.
Right.
Either if it's with me, because majority of the time that's how it happens. They're like, oh my God, I just love your spirit. And I'm like, hey, I can just go directly into it. Well, I got music.
Word, facts.
I got music. And then like they'll hit me up later and be like, oh my gosh, your music is like just so uplifting.
Right.
So,
and that's a fact. I'm telling you, that's a true fact. We were just listening to it before you got in. So that's a real fact.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so that's one of the ways. Kind of like you said, everything is saturated with rap.
Right.
Mumble rap. Just all this
what
stuff.
Sells.
Some is good. Some is, you know what I'm saying, it's not, you know. But, you know, you just have to, I feel like having an experience with people in person is amazing. It's cool, like, to have experiences, like, on IG and stuff like that. But it's nothing more personal than having that personal experience, like, face-to-face.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a whole different thing. Again, if you watch any podcast that I've been on or my podcast, I'm a huge hater of social media. Hashtag I hate social media. There you go. But I think the biggest thing for me is basically just the human contact and people saying word of mouth is more important to me than people going on social media and trying to spread the word that way. But again, social media is a really, really, it can be a great tool. But I would love to see the personal experience with somebody before I'd be like, hey, yeah, social media, yeah, this is a great person, and not even really knowing that person, you know what I'm saying? So because I asked that because do you go to different venues? Because of course, like you said, it's saturated here in Atlanta. So do you go to different venues outside of what most people would think the venues would you would actually be in?
Sometimes I do.
So how comfortable do you feel being in those venues?
you know, at first it was really weird. At first I really didn't like talking about myself.
Right.
Because I'm like, well, my music should speak for me, but my mentor was like, no, that's not how it works.
Word. No, facts.
Even though I am a people person, I love people, but sometimes I just need that alone time, especially just being an artist. Sometimes you have a lot of things going through your mind. You see a lot of things. You want to write a lot of things.
Right.
So, but I do, like the venues that I do go to, whether it be like an open mic or a concert, like I go to different places for specific reasons.
Mm.
Like if I'm going like say for instance, like rest in peace to Mac Miller.
Word.
I remember before he died, I actually had a ticket to go see him.
Wow.
I really wanted to see Miller,
facts.
Man.
Yeah. Facts.
And then when he died, I was so sad because like his music is so soulful, just the way he vibes. Even like with his musicians, if you like Thundercat and all of them, they talk really highly of him. And just how talented he is. So, like, if I'm going to a venue or a concert, I'm going to be like, okay, I hear that drummer. He did that lick. Why did he do that on the 1 and 3 and stuff like that?
Word.
So, and I'm listening to, like, the keyboard playing or I might be hearing, like, the aux. I'm like, my MD, Chrissy. I'm like, Chrissy, can you incorporate this, like, in our like our next venue or our next show? So,
right.
That's awesome. Know. It sounds like you're really immersed in the musicality of it all, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Okay.
So how did your faith play into your transition to saying, I want to bring this to the world myself? Like,
okay.
I want to bring this music. Like,
so
music.
In my music, I really do not talk about a lot about my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I said, it's always experience. So I talk about like chasing your dream, experiences that you may have experiences, where's the eviction notices and stuff like that. The real type of stuff. Because then when you're able to touch people's hearts that way, you're able to pour into them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, yeah.
I love that.
No, that's real. I mean, you know, I try to be 100%, but they call me 99%. That's all I'm talking
about. Where did 1% go?
Wait, right.
And
yeah,
so,
that's a good question.
He
called you 99%,
so,
bro.
Facts. So, you know, I tell people I'm in the streets and they laugh at me every time.
Wait, see,
there you go. So you start laughing, you know, like every time I say that, they start laughing. He even laughing. He's known me for a while.
I'm smiling.
Yo, is this
it's good for the
like,
soul.
Are you really in the streets?
I couldn't say.
They call 99% out there. You ain't heard 99%?
Is it 99% or 99% proof?
Oh.
Ooh.
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 Is it? For all that's watching, make them the comments. Like, I need to know the answer to that one, so I get asked that again.
What's
you know
your
what
street
saying?
Name, Kelvin?
Kev always been a Don, you know what I'm saying?
All right, cool. Say
you know what I'm the realest out there. But, real talk. So the question I have for you, and this is what I always ask artists, man, and they always get stuck on this question. Top 10 artists of all time.
Top 10?
No, hold up. You know what? I'm making it even harder. Top 5.
That's not
of
hard.
Your, oh, that's not hard for you? Okay, my bad. All we right. Go back to 10 if you want to.
No, we
nah,
can do
fuck
5.
Let's go
okay,
5.
Okay,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
cool.
You already
right.
Went to 5.
All right, so we got Royce the 5'9".
Ooh, I've never heard that one.
Yo,
cool, okay.
It's so crazy. Facts. Every time I tell people, like, they be asking me my top 5, they be like, I really wasn't expecting you to
yeah,
say these people.
And that's one of my favorite artists as well,
I
too.
I love
so.
Him. The Book of Ryan is a classic. Okay.
Oh, my God. You just
okay,
touched
we
my
got
heart.
Royce.
One.
Okay.
Royce the 5'9". Then we got Kendrick Lamar.
What?
Of course.
Logic. Joyner Lucas.
Joyner.
And then my last one will have to be J. Cole.
Okay.
Jermaine himself.
I didn't put no female MCs
and that's what
on
is,
there.
You right. Know?
Okay, so what are some of your favorite women artists? Favorite female
Queen
artists?
Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Rhapsody.
Word.
Let's see. MC Light. That's about it.
Okay.
From where I can go.
Yeah,
right
I was going to say, honestly, like, for female rappers, for me, is Rhapsody. Rhapsody has always been my
she's
favorite.
So yo, lyrically, like, she's a problem.
Yo, beat a lot of men rappers out there, too. Like, for real. Like, dog. I'm going to tell you one thing, one fact about Rhapsody. I've never skipped a song on any of her albums when
wow.
I listen to it, for real. Like, Kendrick Lamar is the same way, too. Like, that man has hit after hit after hit. You know what I'm saying? So
that's real.
So, favorite album of all time?
The Book of Ryan.
Oh, never mind.
There you go.
That
was easy.
That.
Top 5 albums. No, I'm sorry.
No. The Book of Ryan, actually, that album is so personal to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I was in Minneapolis around that time. And I just really, really connected with that album.
Word.
Like, I would literally just drive, listen to that album, pull over to the side and just in the parking lot, just be chilling, listening to the album, like really connecting to the album, because he talks about a lot of like real stuff up there.
A fact. That album, that's one of those. If you know Bars, because I'm a huge fan of Bars, because I listen to a lot of battle rap too, so like Bars is really, really important to me. So listen to that, you know, I definitely get it. I definitely get it. So let's just go back to the hometown, Augusta, of course. What made you want to get out of Augusta? That's people ask me that all the time. And when I talk to people, they don't even know what Augusta is, but I have to put them on the map every time. Like real talk, I have to put them on the map. Yeah, yeah. I swear to you, anytime I mention Georgia, they only know Atlanta. For real. He's one of them.
Wait. I knew about Savannah.
Right. And, you know what I'm saying? Right. The disrespect.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Disrespect. I'm just letting you know why I know more about Georgia.
You only said one city, bro.
Right, one city outside of Atlanta. That's about you.
But it wasn't just Atlanta.
Anyway.
My point is proven. Mark that.
But what made you want to get out of Augusta?
Because Augusta is, you can tell it's like a retirement type of city.
For sure.
It's slow. And I really needed a change. I felt like if I would have stayed in Augusta, I would have settled. Mm-hmm. So at the time, like, I felt like God, he gave me a choice. You can go to college, because I actually was going to go to L.A. for school, because I got accepted to Los Angeles Recording School of Arts there.
Right. Nice.
But I couldn't afford it. So,
that's,
you know,
that's real.
I had to pass that.
Right.
So I ended up going to Minnesota for McNally Smith College of Music. Mm. And when I went up there, I wasn't expecting it to be that cold up there.
It was Minnesota.
In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be sunny like Georgia, like breathing in, taking in. No, word. I was deceived.
You should have been.
But anyway, I just ended up being homeless up there. So, you know, I guess just in my
that's,
path right. to be
that's
in
real
struggle path, you know. Yeah. So,
now, a lot of people. And shoot, with me myself, I went to Georgia Southern. Okay. So yeah, like Georgia Southern taught me a lot. I'm not gonna lie. yeah, it taught me how to grow up really, really quick. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, you know, you had a struggle up there.
Yeah.
I had a struggle when I went down to Statesboro. You know, going from Augusta to Statesboro, the middle of nowhere, with 1, 4, or 5 traffic stops, it was different. You know what I'm saying? What if you can describe how the struggle actually, you know, made you who you are now? Like how would you explain that?
So because I couldn't afford to pay for school anymore, I got withdrawn from school and I had to move out the dorms. So my parents, they was like, you know, you can come home if you want to. And I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to stick it out, do the journey.
Right.
And that's what I ended up doing, and it built character. Like, I didn't want nobody to give me nothing. Like, I came up here to achieve my dream, and that's what I did.
Word. Now, funny story with me. When I was at Georgia Southern, again, I tell everybody, I used to be a sheltered kid. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really come outside that much. I was, if I came outside, it was to play soccer or play basketball. But outside of that, I was in the house playing video games. But while I was in Statesboro, man, yo, I was, became a party animal, first and foremost. And then outside of that, I didn't care too much about school, because when I got out there and my teacher said you didn't have to come into class, I didn't come into class. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I learned, like, my academics went down, but I understood after a while, like, yo, I'm in a serious situation that can change my life. And with that being said, I changed it around. I graduated, got up out of Statesboro, and came straight to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it sounds great, but it was a whole journey behind that, too. It would be out here all day.
Like, I tell people all the time, I feel like when people do not go off to college or, you know, start their journey, they cheat themselves.
Right. That's a fact. Yeah. It's like you said, if I felt like if I stayed in Augusta, I probably would probably not have been podcasting, probably been working a 9-to-5 and not doing anything and just going to work every day and not coming, you know, doing something creative or just building myself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, something about Augusta definitely gives me more creative energy and more to build myself when I go down there all the time and visit.
Really?
Yeah, for real. Like, I'm not going to lie. I go down there and it helps build my creativity, for real, for real. Like, I can't stay in Atlanta too long, because I start getting sucked into, like, oh, this is the norm. But when I go to Augusta, or if I go somewhere else, it builds my creative juices to even create even more.
I feel like you feel that way because it's not a lot of noise in Augusta like Atlanta.
Facts.
And you're able to kind of breathe and clear your head and able to kind of like jump in that creative zone. Rather than Atlanta, you'll have like a lot of things pulling at you.
Nah, that's a fact.
I also think it's your home. It's like coming back home is like your recharge, is what you kind of get your energy back, you know.
Now, don't get me wrong, I can't stay there for too long.
That's home.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I might go in there and go to my mom's fridge and be like, what you got, and then leave, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but outside of that, you know, yeah, I can't stay there too long. But yeah, it's Augusta will always be home, for sure.
For real.
For sure. For real. That will always be home.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your goals that you plan on reaching?
For this year,
life.
Okay. So one of my goals is to do a documentary.
Word.
I've been wanting to do that for a minute, and I'm kind of like about to start the filming of the documentary. And yeah, that's one of my goals. And then my other goal is I'm excited because I am dropping an album this year.
Word. Hey. We see.
So I've been really, really, really busy. Yeah, if you can tell,
right?
Like on IG,
for sure.
I just be busy, especially with these two new singles about to drop, and the music video has just been nonstop. So
okay, yeah. So let's talk about the album. What is the name of your album, and what do you want to achieve with this album?
So the name of this album is called The Congratulations LP.
Word.
So I'm really excited about this album. So really, one of my goals for this album is for a lot of people to hear it. And to tour. That is kind of like one of the big things. Like I said, I love people. So I love intimate venues. Because I don't know, it's something about an intimate venues rather than the bigger venues. Mm-hmm. You're able to like feel like the energy very well and draw from that and, you know, push and keep going.
Word. So I always ask this because I be having the jitters before I podcast all the time, for real. What are the things that happen to you before you perform? And what do you do to get over that before you perform?
And like, no lie, every time I'm about to like get on stage and stuff, like I got the bubble guts.
Oh, snap.
And it's not, it ain't nothing like I really have to go and use the bathroom, right? It ain't even that. It's just nervousness.
Right.
But, like, when I do get on stage, even before I know I'm about to come in, I breathe. Even though they can't see it, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And then I just start rapping or singing, and then it's going from there. Like, I'm in.
Word.
I'm locked in.
I think that's spiritual at that point.
You think so?
Yeah. I think you connect with something when you get to that level, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's like the day before, I'm like super nervous, and I'm like, man.
Wait, you're nervous the day before?
A whole 24 hours before.
Yeah, 24 hours before.
Your body just says, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, I don't know, dog. Like, I do have those things, like, I don't know, bro. I don't know if I want to do this or not. But it's like the day of, I'm like, shh, at this point, I'm already here. Like, yo, I'm like, it's like, you got to do it now, you know what I'm saying?
I also don't eat. Before I go on stage, I don't eat. I do it afterwards.
Why is that?
Because, you know, you depending on what you're eating, you know, some foods give you energy, some foods make you sluggish, and I like to eat, you know what I'm saying?
Facts.
So I just prefer to eat, you know, when I'm done, you know what I'm saying? Refill, recharge.
Right after you're done, you're like, yo, let me get those chicken wings, please. That's the first thing I'm going for every time. For real. So, one question that that's really big on this podcast that I always ask, it's usually the last one, but I want to ask you this because I think that you have something that people really be wanting to hear. So if you had a message for the world that you can leave, what would that message be?
So the message I would leave for people is to never give up, know your journey, spend time with yourself, recharge, repeat.
See, a lot of people need to hear it because I see a lot of stuff that you have on Instagram and you're very consistent in what you're doing. And because a lot of people don't understand that about when you're creating, is that you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
People hear that word, it's like, oh, okay, I just need to keep posting. It's more to that. It's more like when you don't understand something or you can't, you know, some people need other people to do those things for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, like for me, when I started podcasting, I didn't have somebody that could edit. Like, I had to learn how to edit myself. Mm-hmm. Had to learn how to edit video. Had to learn how to use audio mixers. Luckily, I had people that would show me.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of that. But were those things that you had issues with before when you first started?
Yeah, because I feel like there's a difference always between who you are and the artist. They're two different, like, sides. I wouldn't say two different people because, you know, I ain't trying to say you crazy or nothing.
But right.
It is obviously two different, you know, sides of who you are. And sometimes people are not tapped into who they are more than what they're doing,
right,
if that makes sense. So for me, I know it just goes back to church. But I have the blessed thing that I've been able to spend a lot of time with myself. Like I tell people, there's nothing wrong with being single. It's what you do with your single life. So I'm still single. Let me be clear.
Word.
No, that ain't to promote. Don't slide in my DMs. Like
in about 48 hours, you're about to get about 15 messages.
That'll be funny, bro. Yeah. But no, I've spent a lot of time myself, and when you are and you're in tune, you know, with God and who you are, you're able to get like revelation, different things. Mm. Like 2017 was a real turning point for me. I started like having like a lot of dreams about business, about traveling, about just who I am as a person, stewarding your money.
Right.
Just a lot of things that a lot of people miss out on because they're not in tune with who they are rather than your artist. I mean, because as like who you are will carry over into your artistry life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're talking to people, sometimes you have to separate. You can't say a lot of things because sometimes a lot of people, they don't really understand you as a person.
Right.
That's for like your inner circle.
Mm. Right. Now, that was deep. That was real. Because I think a lot insightful. Of people miss that point. For real. You know, one thing that I see now is that you have brought a photographer here, and it's not on camera, I see that you bring people also to bring, that's also part of your mission as well. How important is to bring people around to help you when you're moving as well?
I mean, we're helping towards each other. So if you're helping me, I'm going to help you. You help me build my dream, I help you. A lot of people, they ain't like that. You know, they're extremely selfish. But I think also it has to do a lot with being genuine, knowing, you know, what this friendship is about. You know what I'm saying? Or what this business move is about. And some people, they do not have that they don't have that foundation with people.
No,
they think it's about give, take, and it's not, because you can't live your life like that. I mean, a lot of people do, but I prefer not to because you'll be empty all the time.
Mm.
Word. I was going to say, with making that point, a lot of people that I've tried to help, you know, bring onto the podcast and stuff like that, too, I say the word business, they don't understand what the word is. It's just a word, you know. It's just, when you say business, they just say money. And it's a lot more than that. When I say business, I mean being accountable. You know, whenever this person doesn't have, I make sure that, you know, I build them up with me as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? It's that word business means a lot. It can also have a lot of meaning, but a lot of people don't know how to handle business as well.
Because people think, like you said, they think money. So people automatically think money. So that's what all they're going to think. I want the money. I want the money. But a lot of times, like I say, it's more. Blessings are more than just money. You know what I'm saying? It could be a relationship with that person,
right,
because you just never know who that person's going to be 5 years down the line.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing. I think, that's why I like, you know, the word respect. A lot of people know of the word, but again, with different generations, the word respect changes a lot. So, you know, again, when I listen to the new age of hip hop, I sound like an old head, like I'm like 50 years old or whatever. But anyways, like the new age of hip hop,
new rappers,
right? You know, they think that, you know, respect. And this is, again, this is my opinion. It's not saying this is this clear definition. But like, I think that people, because they say respect, they automatically think that you get respect. How we were grown, it was like, yeah, you give respect, but again, you got to earn it as well at the same time. Sure. It's the same thing. But, you know, a lot of people just think you get it. And it's, and I see that that definition changes over time. You know
all
what
the
saying?
Time. It changes all the time.
Right, right, right. Because one
That's
person.
That's why you got to be clear.
Right. Communication is also a word as well. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm just trying to bridge the gap, y'all. Don't attack me. You know what I'm saying? Don't cancel me. I only got a few dollars in my account.
Is cancel culture really real though?
Yes.
You cancel, think so?
I think cancel culture is real.
I think it's like diet real.
Yo, this man said diet it's, real.
Wait, your reasoning.
Right, I'll say this. It's temporary.
Okay.
I think cancel culture is temporary. Like they can crush you for like a year, maybe two, but like 3 years on the line, somebody else is canceled. So like you out the rotation and you just live.
It's
your
like
life.
When you like getting, you know, it's your turn type of thing.
It's your turn. Like it's my turn. I don't think anybody's like canceled permanently.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, some people, you know, that's it. It's a rental.
Diet canceled. I like that.
I would have said like great
trademark
value,
that.
But yeah,
I'm gonna trademark that.
Yeah. So
let's
get into something that's really, really big in the world right now, and of course, you probably know what I'm about to talk about. The Will
COVID,
the Will and Jada situation. Oh. You know, I mean, that's, yeah, this thing's gonna be set COVID. I think that's gonna be something for the rest of the life. You know what I'm saying?
Probably.
But how do you feel about the Will and Jada situation?
That whole situation is stupid to me.
I feel
there we go.
Same way.
From like a lot of. This is my opinion.
Right.
I feel like Will should have been left Jada. That's just how I feel. But then also, I feel like they may have an arrangement of some sort.
Word.
And August kind of just like blew the whistle off of it. And yeah, he talked to too much. I mean, which is, that's their business. Hey, y'all do what y'all do to make y'all happy.
Word.
But if you're going to slap Chris, you should have slapped August. I'm just saying. That's just how I feel. Like,
that's a fact. Yeah. Give the same energy when the energy's there. You know what I'm saying?
Don't go on the Red Table Talk.
Has the episode come out yet?
No. So, no. But I heard that they're having an episode on that. One.
Please, not another Red Table Talk of the same situation, basically.
Yeah. Yo, my whole thing about it, and I'm telling you now, I don't watch award ceremonies at all.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But then when I went on Twitter one day and I saw that, you know, Will slapped Chris, I was like, nah, this is fake, bro.
No, that was real, bro.
It was real. But apparently it's real.
That video, that man twisted the hip.
Yo.
He
did the Dak Prescott on him.
The Dak Prescott on him, boy. He went in there. He was like, this is what Ali taught me. Slap. I was like, good God.
Yo, it's really, and yeah. So somebody I had a conversation with, we were talking about it. They made a good point. They said that maybe it's a, you know, people do, these things are happening and they're using the negative to like, you know, mass real things that are happening in the world.
Yeah,
what I'm saying? And so, yeah, it's just really stupid at this point. The man slapped him. I mean, it's really like, yo, just let it go, bro. Like,
I understand the rage, like the emotion that was, that's built up years of pent up frustration.
Yeah.
Facts.
You know, I understand that. But I mean, to your point too, like it's always real things happening in the world. So like,
I'm broke, bro. I need some money. Like, yo, for real.
CNN breaking news.
Hey, yes, facts.
Need some money.
We can help you with that in the streets. 90 proof.
99 proof.
Well, 99. Yo, proof. You got to get the number right, yo. Yo, they going to be out here talking crazy, and I'm going to have to, never mind. No, I ain't going to say it on camera.
Exactly. See? He know the code.
Worse.
He knows the code. But yeah, I mean, to me, that whole situation was years and years of getting roasted, because I mean that shit touches, like it's not like internet's not a real place, but like shit people say on the internet, like shit resonates sometimes.
I mean, and Jada embarrassed the heck out of Will just with the August situation. Like that is
that's
just
tough,
embarrassing,
right? That's tough.
I've never seen a word become so blown up in the world. Entanglement, bro. Like,
it became a hashtag.
I didn't even know that was a word.
They
tell
got
the truth.
T-shirts, like, they got sweaters, bro. It became a song. Like, bro, like,
you know, that is the wildest word to use. Hey, I'm cheating. No, it was an entanglement.
It was an entanglement.
Like, what?
But that, I mean, I also think they probably had an arrangement.
That's what I feel like.
But then again, it's none of my business. That part is none of my business.
There you go. It's at the end of the day, it's none of my business. Whatever they do,
he talked too much. That was where the problem came in, and made a song about it. So I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, August messed it up.
He made a song. He was in his feelings.
No, August, no.
Yeah, my man took a dub. He definitely took a L on that. Facts. He definitely took a hell of an L for that
one. No, bro.
But let me ask you this. You know, what are some cities that you want to tour in?
Ooh, Dallas.
Why? Why Dallas?
I've never been to Texas, like literally never.
What?
I know. People huge keep state. Telling me.
Huge state.
Huge state.
Yeah, it's one of those states where the best way to describe it, you know, like from here to Augusta is like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like if you go to another city, you're going to be driving for quite a while. That's how big.
That long?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, I have a rule. Let me tell you this rule right now.
Uh-oh.
If anything is over 4 hours in the car, I'm flying. I don't care if the ticket's $700. I don't have time.
Oh, you got money. Okay, she said, I don't care if the ticket's $700. I'm dropping it.
Yo, for real.
I'm over here thinking like, I mean, that's about $100 of gas.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear. Like, my biggest fear is to be in a city where, like, you're driving to another city, but you're stuck like in like the middle of the desert and everything. You just like, yo, what the hell? Like,
my car's all hot. Type of fear.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, bro, coyotes outside. Yo, you might see some. You don't never know, bro. I never want. I watch a lot of horror films, so to you know, my imagination will go crazy. You know what I'm saying?
You watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yo, yeah. Word. See
how many are they gonna continue to make
until they run out of money?
Yo, that's just not. I mean, but see, they're gonna do like Jason and all them other ones like that too.
Like, literally, if I see another Jason, Michael move. I'm like, bro, how many times are we Candyman? Let them die.
Now, let's be honest.
It's a living, bro.
The Candyman was fine. The last Candyman was fine.
It was.
I ain't gonna lie. I like that one.
With Yaya and
I like Jordan that one. Peele. I ain't gonna lie.
I haven't seen it.
Candyman, when I first saw it, so my dad bought it on bootleg on a VHS back in the day. And I'm like 9 or 10 years old, and I see Candyman. Oh, you know, I'm just thinking this. So I'm like, you know, I don't know what it is. Popped it in. Yo. Yo, people were dying by hooks, and I'm seeing bees and all that. I'm like, okay, yeah, bro. I think that's what made me watch it more.
Had nothing to do with candy.
My grandma, she made us watch Candyman, Beloved. Chucky. Oh, after that,
your grandma made you watch all that.
She put it all. I'm like, bro, this is
crazy. Grandma's gangster. I like her grandma. This
he was like, you about to? I'm about to mind fuck you. Sit down.
That's what I want to watch, man.
Nah, I was scarred.
She said it wasn't mind fuck. It was trauma.
That's how I felt about Get Out. When I saw Get Out,
man, I thought Get Out was amazingly entertaining. That was a piece of entertainment I will never forget till the day I die.
I went to work and I was seeing like different scenes in my mind.
Traumatized you from Get Out?
I guess it was just the white people. Even after I watched the movie, I was about to get on the bus and it was this old white lady beside me and I was like, is she gonna try and take me? Like, that's how I felt.
But it makes you self aware though.
It makes you know what's up out here.
Nah, that's
because there's some shit out here.
So you've been thrown in the trunk?
Huh? No.
Oh. You see how he's looking?
Not that I know of. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I've seen a couple flash cameras. I'm still myself, so like I think I'm good.
Yeah, this man might have just ran out of the back of the trunk one day. Right. He didn't even realize.
You know, I realized just scraping the dirt off me. Like, what happened?
So, I'm gonna go ahead and ask you this last question. So, Danielle, what if you can do something for the city of Augusta? I'm talking about it could be a big concert. Mm-hmm. It can be creating the biggest community center, anything of that nature. What do you think the city of Augusta needs, and what would you bring to the city of Augusta?
Child.
I haven't asked anybody that from my city. Like, so I that's the only reason why I'm asking you right now.
They do need some type of we can work together type of event.
For sure.
So I hear, you know, you always hear a lot of people like, man, don't nobody want to work with me. Don't know. But I mean, I feel like music and food always brings the community together. Unfortunately, we were unable to do it these past 2 years because of COVID. But now since everything is opening up, I feel like if I could, I would throw a huge concert. I really would, and have food. It'll just be free to the public. Because that's actually one of my heart's desire. When I go back to Minnesota with a lot of money, I'm going to walk up in one of the offices, and I'm going to be like, anybody need their rent paid today? I'm going to pay their rent. And then I'm going to like go to Cub Foods and just be giving out $50 gift cards for a bunch of people to have a bunch of food. Yeah.
Word. That's actually different. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
I really want to do it for real.
That's amazing.
Nah, yeah. That will, I mean, shoot, especially how rent is now. If I told you what Atlanta rent looks
rent
like.
Rent is different, bro. It's different.
It will break you or build you, one of the two, boy. Because you got to start
selling some organs.
Yeah, right.
Well, go ahead and sell a kidney then.
I might.
Yes.
For Atlanta rent.
I about to say, let me know what the ticket looked like. I'll sit there and think about it. Boy,
you see this? This is the tragedy of Atlanta.
It's expensive. But yo, you already know, man. Daniel, I appreciate you for coming on here. I'm gonna let you give your last words right now.
All right, y'all. Don't forget, April 30th, Big Dreams Part 1 and Good Things Come to Those That Wait music video will be out, and it will be on all streaming platforms. I love y'all so much.
Amen.
Not amen.
I felt it.
Rudolph been saying amen ever since you in here. You don't change amen.
You brought the church in here.
All right, Rudolph, go ahead and say your last words.
Mine is the same as always. Hug your loved ones. Tell your people that you love them, and always do your best.
I love you.
Oh, man, he touched that man heart. Yo, that man heart touched, yo. But anyway, yeah, that's a first. We got one for Rudolph. He's been touched, yo.
My heart is cold, broken.
But yo, you already know, man. It's your boy Kev. Always been a Don, man. The man in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
99% proof.
You know what I'm saying?
99% proof.
Word.
Yeah, that's right.
Make sure you go on to moderncrowd.com. Make sure you get you some merchandise. You know, I stay with the snapback hats, man. We got the bucket hats. We got the shirts. All that. Of course, the other podcasts are on there too. But outside of that, man. This is one of the greatest episodes I've ever done. With Danielle, of course. Yo, we out.
One love.
I ain't never going back, no way. Been a long time coming, yeah, no. I finally got my breakthrough, yeah. I done been through hell and back. I ain't never going back, no way. Been a long time coming, yeah, no. I finally got my breakthrough.
All I do is wait, pray, hustle, and repeat. Business to keep my family out the streets. Working hard, I think of them before they think of me. Working hard, I think of them before they think of me. All I do is wait, pray, hustle, and repeat. Mind my business to keep my family out the streets. Working hard, I think of them before they think of me. Working hard, I think of them before they think of me.
This life is deeper than money. It's deeper than fame. Unfortunately, those are two we gravitate to numb the pain. Heart of gold, but you allergic to change. If you wanna be a nickel dollar bill, ain't worth a breaking, no change. I made it through the storm in hell, well.